From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in Step by Step Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Beth Korth, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Mark LaCroix. I, too, make nice games. This week, we're back to the drawing board for another Nice Thinking, where one of your nice hosts or a nice guest brings in an idea to the clubhouse to workshop on air. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start. Okay, real quick, before listeners panic, the Lydia era has not concluded prematurely.
Right, yes.
Right. I know there was a lot of fanfare. Mm-hmm. Lydia era starts now.
Yeah.
It's only been a couple of weeks, but she had a last-minute schedule thing.
Yeah.
And so, but who do we have in the clubhouse? Beth Korth returns.
Hi.
Don't sound so excited, Beth.
I would describe it as saving our bacon.
I mean, I don't know. I will attempt to live up to Lydia era.
Okay.
It will be hard, but I think you can reach it.
Yes. So Beth's going to be with us for the next 2 weeks on the program. And we're going to use the opportunity to cheat a little bit of work time. Right, Beth?
Shh. It's not cheating. It's multitasking.
Uh-huh. So Beth and I are two of the directors of Nice Games Alliance.
Yes.
No relation, which is a nonprofit that we started recently to help fund and run game dev programs here in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
And part of our longstanding work, we've talked about it on the show before. And one of the things we want to do is put together a workshop series. And so we thought, well, as long as we got Beth here, let's see if we can do some brainstorming on that.
Yeah.
And kind of talk out what that might look like. Because I think we and the other directors and volunteers and other folks have, we've been like brainstorming out in the open at meetings and, you know, at our events. And I think we haven't really put pen to paper just yet.
Yeah, I don't have a list. Maybe Sam's got notes, though. Sam's really good at taking notes.
Sam should be here. Sorry, Sam.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm really curious about this because I've heard it like talked about, but I haven't like gotten the whole pitch on what it actually is.
Well, I think, Steven, the reason you don't have a pitch is because we're not exactly sure how it's going to turn out. My personal pitch is that there are a lot of opportunities for us to fill in some training gaps for both professionals who are just working on developing like more mature skills, I guess, and also for people who want to learn about entering game dev, what kinds of utility skills they can get. Like if we want to do like a sound workshop, or if we want to do a narrative workshop, if we want to do a intro to whatever programming language you people use workshop, if we want to do a why you can still use Unity workshop, or what Unreal does. That's the kind of thing. Like focus on a specific skill that people can walk away with. But it can also be used to just kind of like, there was discussion about making something, right? So like maybe we have like Sam's got her asset jam.
Yeah.
I thought about doing something like that as where it's like you come in and it's like, I want to make a box in 3D and that's what you work on kind of thing. So it's still very nebulous and kind of the reason we've been brainstorming, I think, is to kind of get an idea of what the community might want.
Okay. So it's not like one workshop.
It's a series.
Okay.
Yes. And I think the biggest challenge is because when we talk to people, they're like, oh, it'd be really great to do X or Y, but we kind of need to narrow things down. Like, what actually is it and what isn't it, right? Which is a lot of, you know, we talk about that in game design as well.
Yeah.
And Sam and I did some brainstorming about a month ago and kind of, we feel like we cracked something. Like, we got it. And then we like talked it out. And like, oh, it's just one of many ways we could do it.
Yeah.
But our notion for it would be kind of addressing some of the problem we've had with tutorials that we've talked about on the show recently.
Yeah.
Which is that they kind of just, you kind of walk away from it thinking you know more than, or thinking you learned more than you did.
Right.
And as time goes, you realize it was less useful than you thought. Like you might maybe remember three of the steps, but like you don't actually have any kind of like actionable education. It's instruction manually at best.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, wouldn't it be interesting to try to redefine the format and then do it as a, because we wanted to do it as a series, the concept is like, yeah, this topic, or this tool, this workflow, this concept.
Yeah.
But what if we did it as a series where you would start with a design workshop?
Okay.
Then you have a sort of more of an iteration workshop where you actually do some building. And then the third one would be like a playtest and feedback and next steps kind of thing. And that was what we thought would be really interesting, that would end up, it would feel a little bit more like a game jam, but kind of distributed. And somebody who only wants to do, they don't want to do the first one, they can come to the second one with some of their own materials and just jump on board.
Okay.
Or they just want to come to the third one with a project that they've been working on.
Okay.
And so that was kind of our thinking. But it's, but what that does is it means that there's a lot of things we can't do if we do that.
Right.
Yeah.
It sort of takes away from being able to do, say, like, hey, let's do an Unreal workshop as part of the series. Well, that, it's like, doesn't really fit with that anymore.
That sounds like a class.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm not saying that in a negative way. But it sounds like it would be a series of lessons. And at the end of this, you will have, like, learned a specific thing.
I think the key is we want people to have the kind of investment that comes with it, with a class like you, when you're done with it, you're motivated to keep thinking about it because you got this next thing coming up.
Sure.
We want to design it where you can hop in at any stage.
Okay.
If you had done that prior, you can bring work to it.
Right.
I don't know. And that's kind of our way of making it not mandatory.
Yeah.
If you just want to do the first one and do some design thinking, and then you can be done. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, all that is easier said than done, I think.
Sure.
Like, or do we want to just say, like, you sign up for three things and it's a 3-session course? I don't know.
My immediate thought is, like, I would rather there just be a set of workshops and I can pick which ones to do instead of doing a whole series of them.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm personally interested in learning how to, like, 3D model. Mm-hmm. I don't need a workshop on programming because I do that for my living. Really want like a workshop for like, I don't know, something else related to games. there's a lot of things I can't think of. So that's my immediate thought as me as Steven. That's kind of what I would how I would approach it. I would just pick and choose which ones I would want to go to. Mm-hmm.
So for that to make any sense, because if we're thinking a lot of people are like a Steven, they have one or two things they would want to do.
Yeah.
We would probably have to offer a lot of these to catch most of those people.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And that allows you to be like flexible, but like it's also a lot of work to run a bunch of them.
Right.
Even if you're not the ones like doing the teaching, you still have to coordinate all of that. And it's difficult.
But this comes from our earliest goal for Nice Games Alliance, which was to do a 1 or 2 day conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Beth had the insight that as we get started doing this stuff for real, let's do a workshop series instead.
Okay.
As we start. And then we take learnings from that and build it out to what would we do at a conference. Because I think we wanted to have more, we wanted to do sessions and lectures, but we wanted to do more workshop content at a conference that we put on.
Yeah.
So I think give that a good try first before we commit to a huge thing around it.
Is that one of your priorities? Is to like, you want to figure out how to do this for a conference setting?
Well, so when you make a nonprofit, you don't want to jump in with like, we're going to have a career conference because we need to raise like, $30,000. I have no idea if that's a good number, but like it's a lot of money.
Right.
Whereas like if we were to do smaller workshop series, we can provide that service for a lower fee to the org and to the community if we do have to charge for it, which I think we haven't even discussed if it would be.
No one wants to.
Nobody wants to, but it might have to be.
Yeah.
And so if you do small workshop series, you build a name for yourself in besides the community, but like the greater like Twin Cities area, we would have some programming we can point to when we're applying for grants to fund the other things or trying to get sponsors. But I think as you were talking about that, you're in Sam's discussion, Mark, I think that would be at the conference.
You think so?
I think so. Like if you go to GDC, there's like the narrative workshop where they do like the like whole 6 hours or whatever of like making a game narrative thing. You're there for the whole day
workshop.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's a 2-day thing, and it's like 4 hours each day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I feel like if we were to do a 2-day conference, that would be where that 2 or 3 workshops would be the best fit. Mm-hmm. Because you're there anyways. You might as well do these workshops back-to-back or whatever kind of thing. And then that way you have something that builds on a previous workshop that people expect. Because like if we're offering workshops and someone signs up for the second workshop and they come in and they're like, oh, I was supposed to have something. Like it's really hard to like make them feel welcome and like get.
Well, I think ideally we would make it. They would not come like that. You know what I mean? That wouldn't be for them.
Right.
Right.
Ideally. But people aren't like that, Mark.
Well, I mean, anything requires, you know, proper communication. Like what is it that you're signing up for? I take your meaning, though. But I think like, yeah, I also don't think our ambitions are for a 2-day conference quite yet.
No.
So it would be harder to do something that is multiple steps. And we're thinking 3 at least. So I think putting that all in one conference would probably be, I don't know. It would need to be a week-long conference, I think, for that to work.
The reason why I asked about that is because it would help us focus the ideas as to what we want from this workshop.
Yeah.
If your goal is to eventually make this workshop be part of this conference in some capacity.
In a sense, it's basically, I mean, Beth laid it out exactly. It's like we want to get some experience running these types of things under our belt. It doesn't have to map to what the conference programming ends up being.
Got it.
Right, it could be something that goes so well, let's do it at the conference,
yeah.
Or it could be that this was great, let's do this again next year in addition to the conference.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily having anything other than building our muscles as an organization.
Okay,
and that's something that Beth has been more concerned about than the rest of us because she's smarter than the rest of us. Which is whereas
thank you.
I think we're thinking more about just like the actual like structure and design of it.
Okay,
independent of the sort of like logistics of it.
Got it. That makes sense
because like. The angle that Beth's talking about, like when we need to apply for grants and like it's something to say like, well, we have this workshop series, whereas all of our programming we've done as the IDGA local chapter over the years, that's real, but like it's just harder to point at because there's some explaining to do for people to understand that that's where a lot of our experience running these kinds of programming comes from.
Yeah. Okay.
Whereas this would be a little more concrete. And part of that feels kind of crass, but it's also like, You have to do that. Like you actually need to have some good evidence and a track record of quantifiable success in a way that we would have a harder time explaining to people now, which would make our job harder to try to take that with us as our evidence. So
yeah, okay.
Yes, much like when you're trying to sell your game, you have to have a very nice story about why you made the game and why you should buy it. That's kind of the same thing I think with our nonprofit. It's really hard to be like so. The IGDA Twin Cities chapter has existed for 15 years, but for the last like 8 years, we've been doing this programming like as the board of NGA and some people and then this and really, I'm sorry for bothering you.
Yeah. And this, I mean, it's very, a lot of people in the community who have been very satisfied with the programming when they ask like, why are you all so worried about this logistical stuff? And it's like, because the longer we don't like, take care of it, the harder it is to explain what we've been doing all this time.
Right. Okay. Okay. So it sounds like we shouldn't really factor in this conference thing because it's like a separate thing. You just want to get some experience.
That's just the backstory. And it should speak to what we want our goals to come out of it from an organizational standpoint.
Okay.
Which is something that like that I will lose sight of, I think.
Yeah.
I'll be more focused on how we make this the best it can be rather than how do we as a building block for the organization, which is vital.
Right. Okay. Know? Okay. I'm only speaking of it from my own perspective because I don't fully understand the goals of the workshop. So I'm just talking about it in things of like what I would like.
Yeah.
If I were to go to a workshop thing, I would like one, I guess, catered specifically to something I would like to learn over like, that day or whatever, however long these would need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would just be a series of them. And I like, if I go to one, I'm like, oh, this was great. I would like to go to another one eventually, and then I would just pay attention to what things would come out. But then
it's picking electives in college, basically.
It's basically that.
So it's really hard to say what you would like because you're like, well, that's just me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's a reasonable. Like, you want people to show up to this thing.
Well, and in terms of what we can even put on, if we say this is going to be a series of workshops, one is on a different topic.
Yeah.
Then we need to make sure that we get someone who can really speak to that, which is a higher standard than like when we normally put on our events and have a speaker do a presentation,
right?
Which can have a lot of insights and storytelling, but running a workshop is an entirely different thing, and especially if we charge people for it. So what that means is that we can't be so picky about exactly what our programming is going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be guided by a couple of different factors, like who can we get to do a thing in a way that makes sense, what is the interest in the community that we think we can we get enough people to show up, because that is something that we've heard a lot of people want. But also we want to think about, well, let's try to bring in people from outside the community, and we have a less of a lens into that at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think determining what the topics are is maybe outside the scope of our discussion today.
That makes sense.
If that makes sense.
But what does a workshop look like?
I think like 4 to 6 hours.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
On a Saturday?
Does that sound good, though, Beth?
I mean,
Would you do that?
With a lunch break?
With a lunch break.
With a lunch break, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on, like, what we want to accomplish.
Yeah.
So if it's more of a each one builds on itself, I would think we would do shorter, like 2 to 4 hours.
Yeah,
sure.
Because that's like you're expecting them to come back also.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, because it's been a really long time since I've like created training materials. And also that's the challenge that I'm thinking of. So there's a difference between being an expert and being an expert teacher.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that that is the lens that I've been looking at it through. Like, I can facilitate anything. Mm-hmm. You put a book in front of me and tell me to teach somebody, I can teach what's in the book. I cannot answer questions that aren't in the book.
Right.
But then there is someone who could write the book but will not talk to people.
So, yeah, yeah.
Or can't answer questions because it's weird that you would not understand that.
Yeah.
So that's the tricky part for me is how we're going to find people who have that educational facilitator like spirit, but also have the skill set that people want to learn.
This actually is one of the reasons why Sam and I wanted to break the format a little bit, because we figured that if we're creating this format, then the burden on finding someone who's great at conducting it is a little bit lower. It's a bigger gamble because we'd be the ones creating it in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, because I do think if you, from like a marketing perspective, if you're like, you know, come and learn about X, then it costs $30 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, then I think the burden on you to really get what you're talking about, Beth, is like find someone who doesn't just know the material, but can teach the material, or someone who can teach the material and the material is strong enough so that they don't need to be as big an expert, or finding a way to have an instructor and a couple of experts on hand as TAs, basically,
mm-hmm.
you know, some sort of way of doing that. The burn on that is really high because it's a known, you know what success of that format looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the experience as an organization to put that on necessarily, which isn't, maybe we're making it sound much more difficult than it really is. I think we can do it. I'm not that nervous about us being able to achieve that.
Yeah.
But one of the things I like about inventing something is then the expectations are this is a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, which isn't to say that people would, you know, if it doesn't go perfectly, people wouldn't be as upset, but like that is kind of part of it, you know.
Sure.
And we've identified things that are deficiencies in workshop and tutorial style education that we want to take a crack at kind of solving. And I don't know, it's not all or not all the other, I suppose. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if we like, let's focus on a tool, a discipline, and a workflow for a series. So we'll pick Godot. We have a bunch of Godot fanatics in the community who mm-hmm. serve as really good TAs.
Yeah.
Let's pick, you know, an art workflow, you know, something very, you know, not the series that I was talking about earlier, but like conceptually different things.
Sure.
We can still be innovative in that and still do a more traditional course catalog style series of workshops.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm kind of talking around it because like it could be anything.
It could be anything. You know? Yeah, one of the things that I thought about doing, like we've got in the slides for like, hey, tell us if you know other orgs locally.
Yeah,
I was considering doing one of those like Google Forms for like, what would a workshop topic you'd be interested in be?
Mm-hmm.
But then like, I don't know, I have to ask Sam what our actual response like rate is, if we even get any responses, because I remember when Ryan and I came up with the like, hey, do you want to be a speaker or nominate a speaker? Submit this form. We got 3.
Yeah.
Over the like 8 years that it was up or whatever. So like, so yeah, I don't know like what kind of buy-in we actually get. But one of the other things that I think we should definitely look at is the current atmosphere in the Twin Cities. What type of like know your competitors. I don't know that they're necessarily competitors. They would be co-conspirators.
Sure.
But like what is already offered, how could we supplement that, or how is that able to supplement what we might do?
Ooh, you know what we should do is we should use some NGA funds and Beth send you to a day-long like, you know, Java workshop or something.
Oh, Does it have to be Java?
I mean, I was okay. I was making it sound as painful as possible.
Okay. I like workshops. You can send me to any workshop you want.
But you know what I mean? Like something that would be maybe that we could either, you know, because we don't have to break the mold. Like let's just put on something that's in our space equivalent to, you know, the people do web design workshops and coding workshops and boot camps and stuff like that. Maybe we send some of the board members. There's four of us. We each go to one that's outside of our own particular expertise and kind of just see, maybe come back with some learnings from that. Hmm. I mean, in my head, I'm like, that wouldn't drain too much of our coffers, I hope, but
I mean, that'd
be a reasonable use of our money.
Right? Depends on what kind of workshops you're going to, I suppose.
I guess. Well, I mean, the goal would be to really evaluate the success of the workshop, and the bonus for us individually would be like picking up some skills if we can. But yeah. Evaluating how well we pick them up, I guess, you know, try to take at them honestly.
Yeah, it's hard to know because like there's a lot of those like boot camps and stuff that are closing.
Sure.
And so it's kind of like, what is the like current vibe? I don't have like a feel on the pulse right now.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while. Like after COVID, I kind of like stopped attending all of the things like I used to. So it's really hard to know what's going on besides like I remember from when I worked at the works, right? Like, and that was like a year and a half ago and it was mostly kids. So that's definitely something we should maybe even just like cruise Eventbrite and see or whatever.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I definitely think looking for different or other examples locally would be good. Because then, yeah, you can also figure out ways to better differentiate yourself from other people, I guess, to make it a little more marketable, quote unquote. It is kind of difficult to talk about it because we don't have like a specific topic in mind. But like ultimately, it's going to be towards game development of some form. So that's specific enough that like I think we could.
I mean, we could check out like courses on Udemy and stuff too.
Yeah.
To see what is offered.
Well, actually, that's an excellent question. Was this going to be online or is this going to be?
Well, that's an interesting area. I suppose. I mean, I think maybe depending on how it's literally hour to hour structured.
Yeah.
There might be a presentation component that we could record and offer, and that could be something that could be either made available for free or we could charge a nominal fee for that. But I would like to think that most of the time is spent on you working. Mm-hmm. And so it wouldn't be a very fascinating live stream.
Yeah.
Facilitation is best in person, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. But access is a core pillar of our charter. So, you know, that's even if it's not like going to do a lot, it might be worth considering.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess. I'm writing down some of our thoughts on like what, you know, how we can do a little bit of research, but at the same time, our capacities are pretty low.
Yeah.
Right. And so I guess, but my point with that is like, maybe we should just dive in. Do you know what I mean? Part of this is my thinking about the conference is that I feel confident in our ability to plan a day long conference because I'm an extremely experienced, more than decade long. Multiple times a year concert a convention goer or a conference goer and I've you know and so which is to say it's going to be all thumbs first time out but like I feel like enough of us we know what works and what doesn't and we can try as best we can to emulate what works and try to innovate where it doesn't and then we'll do a lot of learning and then there'll be a bunch of stuff we didn't know because we've never run one before that we'll learn and that's we'll have to recognize that but so I feel comfortable kind of trying new things and innovating. Mm-hmm. Whereas for a workshop series, I think, as we sort of described, like, you know, you try to just make something new, you know, it's much more risky. But in order to do all the research to like run it the way the industry standard is like, well, that, do we have the time actually?
Like, no.
You know, we want to do it this year. And, you know, with the idea of doing a conference next year or building a stable of programming that leads not just to a conference, but to multiple things and that can be sustainable, that we could have people who aren't us run them in future years.
Yeah.
Where they could be funded so we can hire staff to do them.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's fine if the first one is more than all thumbs, you know? I don't know. It's the same thing about when you're trying to learn a game design skill. It's like, how much do you really need to know before you start making it?
Yeah.
And you know, there's not a lot of refactoring you can do in the middle of a workshop, but
I mean, yeah, I suppose ultimately, like, if you just hold a space for people to come and the goal is for people to, like, try to make something,
yeah,
whatever it is, and then you just have people here who can help you make something in 2 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is, that's good. And I feel like that's already distinct from other things, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not typically how workshops are. You're like, this is step one, step two, step three. But if it's like, I want to figure out how to make something in Blender, then you just have a few Blender experts and maybe like somebody organizing everything.
Yeah.
And then just hold the space for people to show up and learn that.
I kind of like that. So that's one thing, like as a narrative person, I've been like dabbling in digital art because you've seen my paintings, Mark. Yeah. I am a very good, like real hands-on paint artist. Mm. But like, if you put me in front of a keyboard, I produce art that my son laughs at. So like, I mean, it's bad. And a lot of it is because I don't know what each of the programs can do, but there's a lot of like free, really good programs that we could just bring in a couple of like experts.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, like you two use this every day. Teach me Inkscape.
Right, right. And this is something actually, it brings up a point where there's different fields. There's different facts on the ground for different fields.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, in 3D art, Blender has been standard in indie workflows for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was true because it was free. But now it's true because it's properly competitive with 3D Studio Max and Maya and the others that were long seen as standards.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the world of like video editing, you still got to buy Premiere Pro, I'm sorry to say.
Okay.
Like, there are free things, but like it's just not as good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in the case of graphic design, like there are free raster graphic software that you know, and Procreate is very cheap, but Photoshop is still leagues better. And I know that like ideologically we don't like that fact. Mm-hmm. So what I mean, my point is that when we think about our audience for our workshops, we got to think about like, do we want people who want to dabble or do we want people who are invested?
Oh.
And some of that means literally, like, do they have a copy of Photoshop? Is that something that we could, or like, do we, yeah, what's, how do we cater to two audiences if there are two audiences, or do we make the hard choice of picking one? And the hard choice of picking everyone is a hard choice because that means there are things you can't teach people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just, you know, saying like these are the free tools you can get, you know, online, the open source stuff, and this is what you can make with it, is that really a service to those people commensurate to what we're probably going to have to charge for a workshop, you know?
Well, so I think that kind of comes back to like our accessibility for all tenant or pillar to our org. Like if you have to have Photoshop for you to like learn anything from us, then we should be offering scholarships for Photoshop subscriptions. Okay, yeah. You know,
that's, like, and that is something you can do. You can license copies of software for workshop purposes.
Right.
But then you have to provide machines usually. It's like a whole, there's a lot that would be on us to do, which I think that would be the way for us to do it. But we would have to identify, and Photoshop might not be the best example in game dev, because a lot of people get by with a sprite in a professional setting.
Yeah.
I think we have to be careful to identify like all of those trip ups and think about like, yeah, access is important, but also what we want, the type of person who's going to come to the workshop, what do we expect their goals to be?
Right.
To become a better hobbyist or to break into a professional setting. And if we give them access to Photoshop for a day and they don't have it at home, how valuable is that to them?
Yeah.
And can we do something different where we say, pay $30 for a workshop and we'll give you a $200 value, a year-long subscription to Photoshop or something, which we would be, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we could get at a discount through...
Right. As a nonprofit, yeah.
You know, so to provide some lasting... These are all in the weeds details, I guess.
Yeah.
But, and that's really going to depend on, like, what our programming is. Like, what is the actual... What are our workshops going to be?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, in game dev, I think that we're lucky. A lot of the bigger tools are free to use.
Mm-hmm.
They have like, you know, hairy licenses down the road, but that wouldn't really be, you know, necessarily a concern.
But I mean, that's kind of the thing is like, if we're looking to make an industry hub,
yeah,
like more accessible here, mm-hmm. which in the current climate, I'm excited to think that there will be a lot of really talented developers moving here.
Yeah.
Mm. I think that we should focus on tools that are industry standard,
yeah.
and being able to teach them and provide access, because then that gives those attendees the tools to then actually get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like if we teach something that's not necessarily industry standard, but is free, then they can make their own studio
yeah.
standard. But like, is that a detriment to them in the long run?
Yeah. Like, are we training starving indies?
Yeah.
Which honestly, I think the question to that is yes.
It's totally going to be yes.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's maybe a little too much pride in the starving indie for being a starving indie.
Okay.
I think even small teams and single person developer outfits should be aiming for professional standards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I agree with you. I think we should be aiming for those like industry standard things. And we also can have some discretion and opinions. We could say like, this is a standard, but we don't think it's necessary. So we're going to choose this standard that we think is necessary, you know.
Yes. What type of professional standards are rooted in white supremacy and the patriarchy? That's one of the things that I struggle with. Like I said it and I thought about it as I was yeah. saying industry standard and I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because I hate professionalism because no, there's not really a professional like in the way that some people say professional, yeah. right? Like,
and also, I mean, it speaks also to our audience is like, are we trying to train people to go, if we're going to do like a 3D modeling workshop for people to come in, learn some 3D modeling and go get a 3D modeling job at a studio? Because like, I don't know that that's our mission.
Yeah, that's also unrealistic for a 2-hour long workshop.
Well, sure, but like if you're interested, that's could be step one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and a lot of people go to day-long coding boot camps and then like 6 months later they get a programming job.
Yeah, so that's true. Well, there's 6 months.
It's a path.
Yeah. But you're right, it's step one.
But what I mean to say is that the thing I'm always talking about in our mm-hmm. in our meetings is that we're an arts and culture organization. Mm-hmm. We're arts, culture, education. We're not necessarily focused on business development or even really career development except in the interests of arts and education and culture. Do we want to focus and say we're going to teach the skills you need to do indie work, or are we going to say like how are things connected, you know?
I got a really good idea for like the first one.
Yeah.
Like portfolio building.
Yeah.
Like let's just do a workshop on like what kind of stuff should be in your portfolio mm-hmm. and we get like someone who actually like hires.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like people who have portfolios.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like we go through and then that is the workshop is like those people can build their portfolio and get like feedback yeah. from someone who.
Right. So that is saying that it is about giving people skills to get hired.
I mean, I think that is a need that's not met here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that is part of the education as an arts org.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will also get us more money from like the Department of Commerce or whatever and sure. the Small Business Association grants and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If we're working to also build the industry as well as like the arts.
Yeah.
Not that I'm about money, but like if we want to succeed, we need money from places. And yeah. by saying we're going to build the economy in Minnesota,
yeah,
that gives us other funding that wouldn't be available if it's just like we're here to build the arts, right?
Yeah.
I know it's
no it's but it's I think we have to we have a stated mission and it's not to build the industry in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because I also don't think it's a practical goal, honestly.
No, I know.
So I don't know how much we should be focused on that.
So you wouldn't want a workshop around building a portfolio.
Well, the problem is it's a really good idea.
It is a great idea.
It's like, a great idea.
Yeah. I just, yeah, I guess it's, are we the ones to do it? But no one else would be the ones to do it.
No one else would be the ones. The reason that anything happens that I do is because no one else is going to do it. That yeah. is why Beth has been on the board for 10 years. That is why that is why we have a nonprofit now, because if nobody's yeah, going to yeah. do it, I'm going to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
That is just one of the things I would like to make happen.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other area, which is soft skills versus hard skills. Like, sure. you know, are we just teaching tools and techniques, or are we also focusing on either within a workshop or in a separate workshop, portfolio stuff or team building or
leadership skills.
Or yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Beth wants to teach those things because Beth is a very hard soft skills person. And when people say soft skills like it's a swear word, I hate it because you know what? Soft skills are just as hard to earn and cultivate as hard skills.
True.
Programming or talking to people, they're equally difficult to master.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we should include those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just a matter of like, do we, I guess this goes back to like breaking it into individual workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, and again, this is maybe going back to the thesis of the show that everything is everything. Like, I kind of have a hard time breaking these things out into little categories rather than doing something that's a little bit more holistic.
Mm-hmm.
Because any single workshop feels like not that valuable to me when framed that way. But maybe that's just a hang up. I don't know.
So I think the portfolio workshop.
Yeah.
Or even like a resume workshop, like something like that would be very useful.
Yeah.
Because there are people in our community that want to like professionally work in the industry and just can't yet.
Yeah.
And we can help them with that.
Yeah.
And that still like supports the arts.
Well, what we need then is we need the whole throughput of that. So mm-hmm. we need to do the research on what remote jobs exist because mm-hmm. no in-person jobs exist in the game mm-hmm. industry here in Twin Cities. And so, because I don't have a particular desire to keep people here if they want to go and work in California or whatever, do we offer them that as part of the path? Like these are the places you can go. These are the places that have good, you know, that have a similar quality of life to where we are. If you're thinking about moving, like that would have to be part of something like any kind of mm-hmm. career thing like that. And that is where I just kind of, I'm not as interested in that, but we'd have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like we couldn't say like, here's how to do a great portfolio, but like almost nobody here in this room has even made a portfolio because none of us have been hired by game studios. We've all gone indie mm-hmm. and we've all had various levels of success.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big problem of game development is like, there's 100 different types of game devs.
And I don't know, we didn't specify digital in NGA, did we?
No.
So we do have some really great board game publishers locally.
Yeah,
that's true.
That we could definitely bring in an expert.
Yeah.
To like do a workshop about getting into board games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think at this point now we're talking a lot more about us hiring other people to do the workshops rather than our expertise either on the board or within our close community.
I mean, are we expert enough to charge people for things? I always hesitate with that.
I mean,
you might be
on the board alone. There's a lot of things if specific topics we could actually do professional education in. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think most of what we talked about today is outside the experience and expertise of the inner circle of the board.
Yeah.
I mean, we could just start with an inner circle workshop too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I guess let's make a list of things we want to do and then just identify the ones we can do with the expertise at hand.
Easier to work with what you got. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do we want to make
How
a little
much
list?
How much time we have left?
We've got a little bit of time left.
Okay.
We can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Beth.
Yes, Steven.
I know you have one of our Nice Games Club t-shirts.
Yes, I do.
Yes, yes. But have you heard that we have a pillow now?
You have a pillow now?
I do. They're really soft.
Are they like couch pillows?
Yeah.
Oh.
You have an example?
Oh, it's in your chair.
Yes.
I can see it from where I'm sitting.
Doesn't it look nice?
It does. It looks very nice.
Ah, that's good. That's good. So, listener, if you are interested at all, you should have, you heard how Beth was excited about just even seeing
that was one hell of an endorsement.
Yeah. You can go to nicegames.club/merch and get our t-shirt or our pillow. You can also see Glom on there as well. That's not what we're talking about, but also get Glom. So yeah, go to nicegames.club/merch. Be excited about our pillows.
Beth, do you have a thought?
I do have a thought.
Yeah.
I actually really love the shirt. It's so soft.
Yeah, right?
Like, that is one thing, like, when people try and sell me merch, like, if the shirt is uncomfortable when I get it, I get really sad.
Yeah.
But the Nice Games Club shirts are really nice.
Oh, that's great. Oh, we got to have you more on more so you can help us with call to action.
That's nicegames.club/merch.
I've got Nice Games thinking notes. I made a sheet before we started.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the portfolio one in there.
Yeah.
So as a professional, Mark, what would you feel confident facilitating?
Ooh, if we're talking about very specific workshops, like build workflows would be one. Like, so going through how Steam works, how to package your assets in Unity, touching on how console delivery works. That could be something that I could absolutely teach a class on. You know, however much console information in there ends up having to not work exactly because you can't under NDA for all that nonsense.
You could do a workshop on, what's that console you...
Playdate,
thank you.
I could do a Playdate development workshop, absolutely. Do a whole treatise on Noble Engine.
That'd be fun. I'd join that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You'd have to learn Lua. I know.
I'd still join that.
Ooh, that's...
I'm less excited now, though. Yeah.
I mean, the whole time I'd be like, oh, I'm teaching Lua. It's like spreading a disease. There are things I like about it.
Yeah.
This is why I don't like programming, because like nobody's like, ugh, Spanish. Oh, French.
Okay, what else could I do?
Yeah.
I could absolutely do a graphic design workshop.
Yeah.
Like talking about the you know, I'd say like learn like about a optical logo? Weight. Yeah.
Could you do like a logo design workshop?
Logo design workshop? Sure I could. Yeah. I could also do putting together a trailer. That's a thing I can do.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of those professionally in games, and then I just have 15 years of video production experience, so that I think can fill in whatever gaps are left. Yeah, and these are also things that, like, I guess this is where, when we're thinking about workshops for the conference, this is the type of thing that I think would be very, like, very specific. We know someone who could definitely do it, not only has the expertise, but could teach it, or who has taught it. So this is the kind of thing I've thought about before for that sort of thing.
Okay.
I mean, there's other things I could do, surely, but let's... I'm getting embarrassed now. So, but, you know, like, I mean, it's the classic, but, like, you know, Intro to Unity. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like, I'm loath to put that on the list, but, like, people want that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know...
Still being used.
Intro to Unreal, Intro to Godot.
Yeah.
Those are good. I think this is where... where it's like there is a lot of problems with those types of workshops. A lot of problems.
Sure.
They are generally next to useless. And so we would have to do a lot of work to innovate in there in that space. But a lot of other areas, I think we don't have to be as adventurous in how we structure them.
See, that's why, like, as you were going, I better like putting together a trailer, logo design. Like, these are all one and done type things.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you get better at making a logo, but once you get the theory behind, like, the balance and all of the color theory and everything, like, you got it.
Yeah.
Like, you can build on that. You can play with it. You can ask Mark in the Discord later, hey, do you think this is good? What would you change?
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing that can exist on its own and then receive support from the community. Just like the portfolio, right? Like, we build a portfolio. It's done. We have a thing that we can show. That's why I don't necessarily like the Intro to Unity, Intro to Unreal, Intro to Godot.
Yeah.
I would be more interested in something like, okay, let's take the two 3D engines, one free and one not, and compare, like, what they're capable of. Like, I think that would be a really cool workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you can use this free one. Here's the things you're missing out on by not having the subscription one.
Yeah.
But, like, you can still do stuff with this, right? Like,
I think you have essentially crafted the thesis for this series, which is specific things you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
So the portfolio one fits with that. The graphic design fits with that, which is, you know, if you're going to a conference like a WMAX, you'll see a session like I might be able to offer. But if you're a game developer, you'll probably never encounter one like that.
Right.
So maybe that's our theme. That's our guiding thesis is something, and then like the sort of comparative example you were describing, also something that would be like, you could do this version online, Udemy's probably got 1,000 of them, but this doesn't exist. And we have, and our, and game developers generally are not asked to know these things. So mm-hmm. let's teach them.
That would be huge, because like one a thing that I think people don't really consider when they're trying to make their game, mm-hmm. relating to your comparing and contrasting thing, is like they'll pick whatever they're most comfortable with. Like I default to Unity because I know it.
Right. Yeah. Instead of an intro to Unity or intro to Unreal. Unity or Unreal, what's the difference?
Right.
Like yeah. that's a workshop that you could go through and yeah. be like, oh.
Because I feel like a lot of people probably come to workshops with a game idea in mind that yeah. they want to make, and they're like, I need to learn this skill so I can make this MMO. and so,
oh my God.
Yeah. So they'll come to this workshop with an idea in mind, but they won't necessarily think thinking about like, should I use Unity or should I use yeah. Godot or should I use...
Well, here's the thing about that is that I like that like intro to comparison of all the popular mm-hmm. available game engines.
Yes.
That is a talk.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
okay. that's not a workshop. But we should totally do that at the conference.
Yeah.
100%. It's such sure. a good idea. And I think that there's a couple of these that might be better as talks or more valuable as talks.
I guess I think that the reason that I wanted to do like the comparison was like you can actually like sit down and play with it.
I suppose. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's
which is why I wouldn't do all of them at once. It would be like Unreal or Unity.
Sure.
And like you would compare right. the difference in like what they like. I have no idea, but somebody uses one or the other and sure. compare them to each other. And then like you could do like Godot versus Unity or like, do you know what I mean? Like it would be a series that I think would be cool.
So that would be more of a like do this task in two different engines
yeah.
this hour. Okay. Okay.
Because I want people to be able to walk away with something that they can use, right? Right. And so like knowing how to make a splash screen or whatever in two different things, or like how to make a title screen in two different things, teaches you the like basics of that engine yeah. or whatever. But right. like also there's so much more you can learn, but you have a thing you can build on.
So with that, I mean, that's like that's like an 8-hour day-long camp is what that is.
I mean, yeah.
No, I mean, there's various iterations of it. What I like about it is that then you would, it would be a menu system or UI. Mm-hmm. You know, like a character animator, save system, some rendering use case. Mm-hmm. It'd be every hour you would do that, something with that in two engines or three if you're super ambitious or whatever. And then that's what you walk away with, is like just the very basic thin understanding of all those. And what you actually come away with is conceptually how to make those things. Because that's what Sam and I were talking about, is we want people to walk away not with like step one, step two, step three,
right.
but more like a, here's like, give them a basis on which they can be creative problem solvers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that I think you've described a practical way to get that outcome. And I think a valuable way to do it would be to have many different types of things. It would mm-hmm. probably take all day, but you could do that as a 4 or 6 hour one too, just mm-hmm. a couple of examples. But I would love to see that as a day long thing or itself a series. Mm-hmm. But yeah, something you don't see anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, do you agree? I think that's the thesis.
I mean, I don't see it anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, but
it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Well, then we don't reinvent the intro to Unity. We just don't bother with that then, because it's not part of the thesis anymore. You know?
It's not an intro to Unity. It's building something in Unity or Unreal.
Right. Yeah, I think it would be important to explain the significance of the class or the usefulness of the class.
Yeah, that's what mm-hmm. the little paragraph and just is. Yeah.
But I think if you're going to do something that's like kind of specific, I need to be told, me as a person, Steven,
right.
again.
Right.
I need to be told.
In the brochure, it'll say information at the bottom, said that this part's for Steven.
Perfect.
Because Steven needs to be told.
I do. Yeah, but I think it's a great idea to be like really specific about like what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Or what you're looking for in your workshop, because then like people can.
Well, also, I mean, just making sure that information is well presented is a challenge of a series with this kind of premise.
Yes.
But also that also helps us in terms of like when we try to pitch for grants. It's like we're not just some group trying to put on a thing. This is a unique idea we have.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is our particular expertise. But at the same time, it's just a workshop series. It's not wildly ambitious or experimental. It's just it has an interesting premise you've never seen before. So it kind of walks that line, I think, in a way that it is exciting but not scary to a potential funder.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like, I imagine, I don't know, I've done so many conference talks where it's like, what will your audience walk away with? Yeah. Like, I feel like we do better when we explain the workshops, but like, that's kind of the thing, like what this workshop is, what you're not getting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be easy to communicate in a short paragraph mm-hmm. that hopefully, but we'll run them all by you, Steven.
Cool. More work for me. I'm not even on the board.
No, it'll take like 10 minutes. I'll buy you lunch.
Aw, okay.
Well, I mean, we got a start of a list. We got a premise. We can take that to the board and kind of start getting some concrete plans going. Beth, what do you think? What do you think would be a timeline for this whole thing through the year?
Totally.
Roughly, imagine everything goes to plan.
I would say fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that gives us summer to get stuff worked out.
And what do we need? We need a venue. We need speakers.
I mean, I would not be opposed to holding the first one here, Noble Robot, because I would limit the seats to like 10 or whatever to just like have a small test run.
Okay.
Sure.
And like let people know in the description of the workshop, this is our first attempt at an official workshop. So sorry if it's bad.
Well, okay, we need
no, to... I'm kidding. We wouldn't say that.
Let's project confidence. more than that, let's have confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that I would like to offer it as a free.
Okay.
Do you want to do... just a small one. Because we could use this space so it wouldn't cost us. We could use one of our experts so it wouldn't cost us. Just our time.
Yeah. Do you want to do a... Let's do three of them in the late summer for free. We're just ramshackle, put together. Our marketing efforts is just through our existing community.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that and then see if we can actually, meanwhile, plan three more for the fall that we can kind of adjust as we learn quickly from the free ones.
And maybe we repeat the free ones with lessons learned.
Yeah.
And then that's why we can charge is because we made them better.
Sure.
That makes sense.
What you're saying is like, the lack of confidence you expressed earlier, we could reframe as these are pilot programs.
Yes, they're pilot programs.
Please join us for this pilot program.
Yes, we're learning.
It's a free session, but we're going to be putting on, we're going to be doing bigger ones in the fall.
Because if we do a test with a small group, we could decide if it's scalable to a larger group and we would need a larger venue, right? Yeah. Like if we do a session and there's 10 people and we can't answer all the questions and we can't get anything done, then we're not going to make a 30-person class.
Sure.
At least with that subject, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we should do it. I mean, it's a whole... I think we're out of time now, but I think for venues and stuff, because we have this venue conversation all the time.
All the time.
For events and stuff like that. But, like, this is a case where we actually should just talk to a school. Mm-hmm. Just say, can we use your classrooms after hours?
Okay, Mark, I will email the people I know at the places I should be emailing.
Yeah. But I think that's a really easy thing to say, like, hey, we're, you know... U of M Computer Science Department, can you sponsor this and lend us a class and help advertise? Mm-hmm. That might be like the next step after the pilot, is because then we, you know, it's a little bit of help there. Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm looking forward to reading all of these descriptions
and attending every one of the workshops.
Well, some of them.
That'll be we'll have our Steven Index of like.
I was going to say, we need like a control person, Steven. You have to be the like neutral party in all of them. Be like, okay, that was good. Oh, that was bad, Beth. Like, no, you gotta go to all of them.
Genuinely, I would be interested in attending some of these, especially because they're really specific. I think that's like interesting versus like learn how to art, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, because like if you want to learn how to art, there's plenty of places. Like, I mean, there are hundreds of videos for free on YouTube or whatever, and you can learn how to art. But can you learn the difference of how to art in two different softwares?
Yeah, or
right?
Like
it kind of helps.
In the context of game dev, because there's the thing, I mean, having come from other industries and being multidisciplinary, the thing that I see game devs get tripped up over is learning a lesson from some other industry and just applying it wholesale to theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that would be our opportunity, is to provide the lens of game dev to something that you could find information about, but it's never through a game dev lens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, that'd be useful.
Yeah.
It'll be great. Awesome.
We'll end on that happy note. That's our show. For show notes and links, if we have any, on this and other nice thinkings and other episodes, go to our website, nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes delivered to you 1 week early. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello and tell us which of these workshops you would like to attend. Next week, we're going to be looking at quality of life and begging for money. Tune in for that. But that's it for this week. So until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.